just for women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8:20. Hello again. We're still talking about the Harry Potter books. So you women just pull up a chair or be a little quiet, turn down the children a little bit, and listen, because this is very important. It's very important. The Word of God is so plain. No man can serve two masters, Matthew 6:24 reads. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and the devil both. We just can't. It's impossible. It's clean and dirty together. Now let's talk about the bewitching hour of midnight. It was J.K. Rowling's personal instructions. She's the author, remember, of the Harry Potter books. It was her personal instructions that the bookstore selling her fourth book could not unveil the 700-page Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire to her adoring fans until she said so. When it up for sale, it became the fastest-selling book in history. Can you imagine that? The fastest-selling book in history. You see, no show of young Harry Potter and his further magical mysteries was allowed to be sighted before July 8, 2000, which, by the way, happened to be my grandmother's birthday, but she's in heaven. I'm glad. I wouldn't want such an evil thing to be on her birthday if she were down here. So, in the dead of night, at the bewitching hour of midnight, scores of bookstores, big or small, in communities all over Britain and North America, threw their doors open to little fanatics dressed in tape glasses and wizard dress, accompanied, for the most part, by their commercially crazed parents. Who should have known better? Many of the young ones bore the scary zigzag mark on their foreheads, just like their fictitious hero, not realizing the practice of marking was employed by medieval witch cults to symbolize subjection to the devil. Don't children belong in bed at midnight? And to think another three books are planned for the future. What marketing scheme will J.K. Rowling come up with next? 2 Kings 23:24 says, "Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits, and she is one, and the wizards, and the images, and the idols, and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord." Oh, put away your Harry Potter books. Put them away so that you may bring out the book of books. Read your children from the book of books. Make that book precious in your home. Please, I beg of you. Yes, children are reading. Everyone, well, almost everyone is thrilled that children are reading again. Millions of children with wide eyes and open minds are reading instead of watching television or playing video games. Why? Anne Quinlan, in her recent Newsweek editorial, feels, quote, "It has a lot to do with the characters who jump from my book as though they were grasshoppers trapped between the pages," end of quote. Some of us who have grandchildren who have been reading up a storm all their lives don't understand this sudden parental glee. Why haven't parents encouraged reading until now? I'm asking myself this. Since the avalanche of Potter prose, more than ever, parents must show reading discernment for their children. In the midst of this magical hoopla, I'm asking myself, are the Harry Potter books carving a sinister scar in the souls of our children? What about their future and present spiritual beliefs? It is a question that cannot be ignored. When children put that zigzag lightning-type scar on their heads, praying that they are Harry Potter, you can peel it off when you want to take them someplace without the scar. But the scar that's forming on their souls, because they are subject to this magic, to this hoopla, to this falseness, to this devilment in the books, that scar that's on your child's heart and soul cannot be erased easily, if ever. Mothers and fathers are hoodwinked. They are foolishly permitting their impressionable babies to feast on dear, lovable, brave, awesome, inquisitive, wizard Harry Potter. Is this right or wrong? Did he do good things? How can such a seemingly innocent, fun-loving, inquisitive boy be evil? Did he not outsmart the most powerful wizard of all time, the one whose name most in the wizard world are afraid to pronounce? All fear him but Harry Potter. Harry Potter spoke his name, Lord Voldemort. Lord Voldemort. One comment quoted from the U.S. News and World Report by Jerry Huffman was that of a Yale professor who said that it was horribly written and that children are better off not reading it at all than reading Potter. 2 Kings 2:21-6 says, "And he," meaning Manasseh, "made his son pass through the fire, and observe times, and use enchantments, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He brought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger." In time, according to author Rowling's pen, readers will come to realize, just as Harry himself had to do, the boy, even as an infant in his mother's arms, was more powerful than the dreaded wizard named Voldemort. We come to understand that Lord Voldemort, whom the fearful called You-Know-Who, had become mere shadow and vapor because of Harry Potter. This degrading of Voldemort into a vapor, shadowy substance, was attributed to Harry's mystical power as a baby. That is why all who met Harry were in awe of him. All who met Harry Potter were in awe of him, straining their necks to catch a glimpse of his person whom he entered and when he entered a room. Also, that is why some hated Harry. They were on Voldemort's side. These Voldemort sympathizers were evil beings, sorcerers, witches, and wizards of the dark variety. Now, this name, Voldemort, I may not be pronouncing it as Harry Potter's author wants us to, and I always want to put an R in the middle of the name, and I stopped right here and looked in the book again to be sure I was spelling it correctly. It's V-O-L-D-E-M-O-R-T, and I guess it's pronounced Voldemort. Micah 5:12-13 says, "And I will cut off witchcraft out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hand." It should be noted, at least in the books I have read so far, that the dreaded Lord Voldemort only took form when he resided in a body of a willing host, such as the wimpy, stuttering Quirrell himself, Q-U-I-R-R-E-L-L. Only then was the Dark Lord powerful. The fact that Harry's unusual power was proven to be true is acknowledged when Voldemort was unable to kill Harry as a fondling child. This is revealed at the beginning of the Harry Potter and Sorcerer's Stone book. As one reads near the ending of the Sorcerer's Stone book, it is discovered that You-Know-Who, that's Voldemort, could not annihilate Harry, a boy, even though that conflict at the end of that book put Harry, frightened and shocked and ill, into a hospital bed. You see, when Harry was a mere babe, Voldemort killed Harry's father, a wizard of worth, as well as his mother, a witch in her own right. She sacrificed her life for that wizard child. All Harry remembers of that dreadful death day was flashes of green light and the ever-present zigzag forehead scar hidden under his unruly hair, a scar that often pained him in the severe crisis with Voldemort. Later readers learn from before that Lord Voldemort gave that distinctive forehead feature to Harry. It came to be known as the source of Harry's exceptional magic ability. Isaiah 8:19 says, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? Should not the people seek unto their God?"
I am happy in the service of the King. I have peace and joy that nothing else can bring in the service of the King, in the service of the King. Every talent I will bring. The service of the King.
God's care. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? That's why I'm under His care. Are you?
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@bibleforToday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women. Women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking Just for Women.
Hello there. Shall we pray? Oh God in heaven, we come to Thee in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask that You help us realize that Satan is very real and alive, and that he wants to snatch our minds. He wants to take our bodies and destroy us, put us into pornographic thought, put us into harlotry, put us into all sorts of evil. Dear God, open our eyes to his wickedness and his realness. In Jesus' name, amen. We're coming to you again, young woman and grandma, talking about the Harry Potter books by J.K. Rowling. I can't help but fear. As I was preparing this, I thought, oh, I'm walking right into the devil territory. Isaiah 8:20 says, to the Lord, to the law, and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. I've been reading that verse every time we come together speaking about these books, because this book does not speak according to the word of God. So this book has no light in it. This book is darkness. Never fear to take a stand against it, because it is darkness. No matter how nice it may sound in places, and how children are reading, and how the plot thickens, etc., etc., this book, and Harry Potter, and all of the people in the books by Rowling, are darkness. Isaiah 9:18 says, for wickedness burneth as the fire. It shall kindle in the thickets of the forest, and they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. Although, as a younger child, Harry wondered at times some of the unusual happenings in his life. If you want this report about Harry Potter, it's called The Harry Potter Review by Yvonne S. Waite. That's who I am. Just write Just for Women, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey, 08108. Although as a younger child, Harry wondered at times at some of the unusual happenings in his early life from the ages of 1 to 10. From those ages, Harry was completely unaware that he had wizard blood pulsing in his veins. Try as his aunt and uncle would, they could not stop such wizardry from surfacing. Harry was destined for the magic world. True, Harry Potter was no ordinary boy. You see, Harry was killed by Voldemort, and his parents were killed, and he was taken to his aunt and uncle, who were muggles, regular people. They were not wizard people, and so they tried to keep him from being a wizard. Harry is the product of the vivid imagination of J.K. Rowling, a single college-educated, welfare-type mother living in a frigid flat in Edinburgh with her baby daughter. Rowling began her first book in the Harry Potter series writing on scraps of brown wrapping paper while holding her baby on her lap. She was in a local cafe doing this writing. That book is titled Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Now, that's the one that I read. I've been told that the original title for the book was Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, but was changed by the USA publishers, probably because it would sell better. No matter, whatever, the title, I've read the book. Rowling, who claims her books portray good overpowering evil, and that isn't true, folks, received an unprecedented award from the Scottish Arts Council to complete her first book, to say nothing of the $480 million collected in the short 3 years from its sales. She is a financial jackpot, no longer on welfare. According to Daniel Furman in his Wild About Harry, I read in Entertainment Weekly, the 34-year-old author recently received an order of the British Empire from Queen Elizabeth. It is reporting that Rowling is the third highest earning woman in Britain. She is listed in Forbes 1999 celebrity with her 42 million earnings. Wow. The international Harry Potter phenomenon has begun. Each new book seems a little bit darker and more morbidly tragic than the one preceding. The Goblets of Fire, one of the students in that book, one of the students at Hogwarts, that's the school, is actually murdered by Voldemort at the climax, but conflict between Harry and his deadly foe is riveting in places. That's from Steve Bonta from The New American. Mr. Bonta goes on to quote another reviewer who wrote that there is a prevailing shadow of death that hangs over much of the storytelling. This is not a light, happy world, but a landscape clouded by gloom and murder. The author herself agreed that death and bereavement and what death means is one of the central themes in all seven books. That's a quote from July 17, 2000 Newsweek. Let me repeat that again. That's J.K. Rowling. She agrees that death and bereavement and what death means is one of the central themes in all seven books. Isaiah 19:3, and the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof. The spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof, and they shall seek to the idols, and to the charmers, and to them that have familiar spirits, and to the wizards. That's what the Bible says about that. I, too, believe that children should be made aware of the reality of death as they mature, and life hands them tragedy. I don't believe we should hide the fact that people die. It's a reality. It's part of living. But I feel that such discussion should begin and end with the Bible as the basis, and on the parent's terms, not some occult-driven author. The Word of God shows us the truth about the life hereafter. As I'm writing this report and giving it to you, a woman who attends our church called to tell me that her dear friend of 40 years had died. It was a sudden death. The woman had been packing for a move to the Poconos. She went to bed tired, expecting to continue her move in the morning, but God had other plans. When she did awaken in the morning, she did not. She awoke in the better land. Her family tiptoed into her room, wondering why she was late for breakfast, and found her dead. What a shock. After all, God is the one who controls such realities as life and death, and has provided a way of escape from eternal death and hell through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. None of such biblical truth is given in the Harry Potter series, not even a hint. Deuteronomy 18:11 says, or a charmer, or a consoler with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, have nothing to do with them. Why do children like this book? To be honest, I can see why children like the book. It is fascinating reading, sometimes confusing with all the different characters and their peculiar names. But it's up to parents words to guide what they read. The storyline moves along with new and exciting puzzles to solve and hinted mysteries for the future, as well as good dialogue and action from each of the characters on every page. Perhaps it is the funny-sounding names that attract children to the narrative. Children like to put rhyming and rhythmic sounds together, don't they? But are the books good for children? And if so, what age level would you recommend for reading? There are stimulating plots and counterplots, fascinating the reader. Could they be too exciting for the young mind? Is too much of the occult world hidden in each word idea? Let me quote to you a letter to the editor found in the New America in September 25, 2000 from a woman in Florence, Kentucky. She is writing in agreement with Steve Bonta's article, Harry Potter's Hocus Pocus, when he said, "Millions of kids formerly interested only in video games are now reading, thanks to the unprecedented popularity of the Harry Potter books. But there are some red flags. And may I say to you again, give them something else to read. There are plenty of good books." If you will notice, I've quoted Mr. Bonta extensively in my review here. The Kentucky letter says the following: "I would like to add one note of warning to Mr. Bonta's excellent review of the Harry Potter books. Namely, they contain an element of crudity and vulgarity that is rather offensive and is certainly superfluous to a writer with such a fertile imagination as J.K. Rowling's." I'm thinking of a song which I learned as a child, and if I have time, I would like to sing it for you. It's called "I Would Be Like Jesus." The words are by James Rowe and the music by B.D. Ackley. "Earthly pleasures vainly call me, and I'll tell you this hot Harry Potter book they call, I would be like Jesus. Nothing worldly shall enthrall me, I would be like Jesus. Be like Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long, I would be like Jesus." God's care. Are you?
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@bibleforToday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women. Women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking Just for Women.
Hello there, here we are again, talking about the Harry Potter books and about Satan. I thought I would read Revelation 12 to you. There's 17 verses, so why don't you get your Bible and you can read along with me. Maybe you keep it there in the kitchen. Please notice that the dragon is the serpent. Notice the color, the red dragon. Remember when I was reading you the Halloween tract that my husband wrote? The colors of Halloween and of the devil are orange, black, and red. And I was impressed that this dragon is called the Great Red Dragon. Now, I'm not going to explain this chapter to you. That's not my purpose. I'm not a preacher, and so I'm not going to go exegete this chapter. I just want to read it to you in the light of the fact that Satan is very real. I just want you to realize that. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I just wanted to read the 12th chapter of Revelation to you, because it gave very interesting pictures, word pictures, of Satan, the dragon, the red dragon. Isaiah 8:20 says, To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Remember we talked about John 1:5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So we see here in John 3:19 that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. I believe the Harry Potter books are from evil deeds.
I will agree that by reading the Harry Potter books, which some people think have all the earmarks of a classic, children can escape the mundane, ordinary lives they live. Lives without wands and broomsticks. Lives driven by schedules and deadlines and divorced parents, as well as lives saturated with television's sameness and sexual innuendos found on every channel. Children of our world today are pampered with material goods with no personal owl to fly letters to and fro. And they are so programmed to do this and that at such and such a time that their God-given imaginations have no place to expand. They are rushed from bed to babysitter, from lunch to playground, from supper to church, that their inborn ability for childish dreaming is diminished to a small flicker. Their God-given inventio has been squelched with appointments here and there, as well as homework and lesson plans. Whatever happened to just lying in bed and looking out the window? Or going to Grandma's house to talk about the olden days? Or just doing plain nothing? All sorts of fanciful things happened in Book One when Harry Potter is on the scene. He and his friends can walk through a wall to catch the Hogwarts Express from the magical track 9 3/4 at London's King's Cross Station. Or as in Book Two, when Harry and his friends Ron Weasley miss the train to Hogwarts School, they fly in the sky in Ron's father's flying car. What child wouldn't want an invisible coat of silverly cloth to run around unseen at home? Or even to check out the magic and mystery of Hogwarts boarding school's castle by a Scotland lake? Who wouldn't want to view the future and review the past by gazing into a magical mirror? Or taste the ever-flavored beans or eat a chocolate frog? Who wouldn't like the ability to move magically from one location to another without the aid of visible transportation? What child wouldn't want to be friends with the boy who rides through the air on his Nimbus 2000 broomstick, even if your own broomstick was a second-hand one left over from your brother? As a child reads, he can see in his mind's eye Harry Potter swooping the skies on the magical broomstick. After all, Harry is a champion high scorer, Quidditch player for his beloved Gryffindor, or maybe it's pronounced Grinfindor, I don't know. Gryffindor is one of the four Hogwarts residential houses to which the Sorting Hat has assigned Harry upon entry to Hogwarts Wizard School. For you who don't know Quidditch, Quidditch is something like soccer, but with its own peculiar rules and played while riding on a broomstick in the night sky. Also of interest to Quidditch and Harry Potter friends, wizards from all over the world descend upon the country where the World Cup competition is played. Security is heightened and strict at the time, and identification papers are scrutinized lest some muggles, and that's what human beings are called, slip in unnoticed to report that wizards abound. Now this all is from the imagination of Miss Rowling. Who wouldn't be emotionally paralyzed to hear a screaming book? What child wouldn't be happy to have a faculty headmaster and chief wizard by the name of Dumbledore, which in archaic English means bumblebee, or be friends with a studious girl by the name of Hermione, H-E-R-M-I-O-N-E, Granger, who was a muggle, a regular person by birth, but studied her head off to be an excellent witch, or to have an enemy from Hogwarts House of Slytherin, who taunted you daily by the last name of Malfoy, or to see unicorn blood glistening like silver in the forest darkness, or to be repulsed while watching a hooded figure drink its blood as the animal lay lifeless on the ground. Or to see Lord Voldemort's host, Quirrell. Now, you have to realize that Lord Voldemort had no good body. He was just shadow and mist and form ever since he could not kill Harry when Harry was a baby. And so he had to live in another person's body. This Quirrell, Q-U-I-R-R-E-L, was a professor at the Hogwarts School. I forget right now what he was taught. And Lord Voldemort was residing in Quirrell's body. And Quirrell always wore a turban. And when this was revealed at the end of the Sorcerer's Book, Quirrell pulled off the turban, turned around, and there on the back of his bald head was Lord Voldemort's face. Voldemort had embedded himself inside a Quirrell so he could have a body. So, I'll continue here. Oh, to see Lord Voldemort's host, Quirrell, with unicorn blood dripping from his mouth, staring at Harry with awful hate. Oh, to be petrified at the thought that unicorn blood kept Lord Voldemort alive, blood that he called the elixir of life. And the only way this Lord, whom most people did not call by name, Lord Voldemort, could keep alive was not only to be in another body, but was to drink the blood of unicorns, which is called elixir of life. This is a terrible story. It really is. And I'm told it gets worse and worse, and as I read you my report, you will see how it gets worse and worse. Leviticus 19:26 says, "Ye shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall ye use enchantment nor observe times." But Rowling, the author of this book, and all the little followers of the wizard with the mark on his forehead don't care what the Bible say. Let me quote you from a recent USA Today as read from August 4th, 2000, Sword of the Lord, out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. It is talking about Book 3, which I have not seen as yet, nor have read any excerpts from Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, A-Z-K-A-B-A-N, until this article. I have more to do than running around looking for these books, you know, to say nothing of reading them. And now I quote, "Among the terrifying images, dissembled voice repeatedly hissing, kill, monstrous flesh-eating spiders, children being attacked and paralyzed, an apparently dead cat hung upside down by its tail, and there are creatures that suck out people's souls. In the fourth book, the 14-year-old Harry," you see he's gotten older, when we first met him he was 11, "develops an interest in the opposite sex and suffers the death of someone close to him. As a reader, I first met Harry in a pathetic setting where he lived on private drive with his mother's sister, Aunt Petunia, and her husband, Uncle Vernon, and their son Harry, a spoiled and coddled cousin of Harry Potter's named Dudley Dursley. And I have to close now, because it's time to go. But I want to say to you, I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. I'm under His care. Are you?"
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@biblefortoday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking Just for Women.
Hi everybody, how are you doing today? You pretty busy? You know, we've been talking about the evils of Halloween, and if you want the Halloween tract, you can ask for it. Or if you want this review of Harry Potter, I call it the Harry Potter Review, just write Just for Women, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey, 08108, and ask. It'd be nice if you could help with the postage, because the Potter Review is rather heavy. I think it will take about 3 stamps. Isaiah 8:20 is the verse we read every time. It's called to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Satan is the power of darkness. He is the prince of this world. Jesus prayed in the Lord's Prayer, "Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil, and thine be the glory and the power." Not Satan. Deliver us from evil. In Luke 22:52-53, it says, "Then Jesus said unto the chief priests," that's the word of God, "and captains of the temple, and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I daily was with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." The power of darkness, of course, is Satan. He wanted Jesus dead on the cross. He wanted victory, but he could not have victory over Christ because he was the Son of God, more powerful than any Satan or his demons. Malachi 3:5-6 says, "And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers," and that's what we read about in Harry Potter books, "and against the adulterers, against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widows and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord, I change not." Notice the company that sorcerers are mentioned with here. "I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against false swearers, against them that oppress the hireling in his wages, or against widows that oppress the widows and the fatherless and the strangers." God says in Malachi, "I am the Lord and I change not." He is the same God of the New Testament as of the Old Testament, and he changes not. And he isn't pleased whatsoever with the worship of Satan. He is not pleased whatsoever with sorcerer knowledge brought into the minds of our children. Let's do something about it, Mother. Let's do something about it, Grandmother. Now get back to my Harry Potter review. As a reader, I first met Harry in a pathetic setting where he lived on Privet Drive with his mother's sister, Aunt Petunia, and her husband, Uncle Vernon, and their son, Harry, a spoiled and coddled cousin of Harry Potter's named Dudley Dursley. Harry's relatives consider themselves to be perfectly normal, and thus keeping Harry, who was not aware of his wizardry gifts until his 11th birthday, from public view as much as possible, except for school and a few social functions. They dressed him in awful clothes. The cousin got nice clothes, nice food. He got presents. Harry got nothing. Often Harry's kindred, kept him locked in a cupboard at the foot of the stairs for days at a time due to some real or imagined indiscretion on Harry's part. Right away, the reader becomes very sympathetic towards Harry Potter. Jeremiah 27:9 reads, "Therefore hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, Ye shall not serve the king of Babylon." So why are these Harry Potter books so controversial? After all, wasn't Harry a nice little boy? He couldn't help it that he was a wizard, or could he? Reports that I have read run the gamut from criticism to praise. While one newspaper will talk of banning the books, the other invokes a writing contest asking children from 18 and under, "How have the Harry Potter books changed your life?" Can you imagine that? I couldn't believe my eyes. I saw that in the paper. I believe it was Scholastic and Company. That's the publishers of these Harry Potter books. How has Harry Potter changed your life? Voldemort, remember, he's Lord Voldemort, the one that people did not even speak his name, the one who killed Harry Potter's parents. He is the personification of evil in the Harry Potter series. He is a constant threat to overwhelm any good. He seems to be capable of dying and has goals for immortality. Book 4, of which I have only read one chapter, reports that his path to power is littered with corpses of good wizards and muggles. Those are regular people. The New American reported the following, quote, "As a result, rather than dealing with good versus evil in the Christian sense of the terms, where evil is understood always to be subordinate to omnipotent good, the Potter stories come across more as a dualistic allegories, whereas in dualistic heresies of every age, good and evil are regarded as co-evil, or coeval, warring equals, different sides, as it were, of the same cosmic coin." This anti-Christian take on good and evil is vigorously reinforced in the Potter books by various twists suggesting that Harry and Voldemort, despite being mortal enemies, are not really that far apart, end of quote from the New American. Can you believe this? A whole new theology is being formed. Or is it so new? It's satanic theology, isn't it? My. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Colossians 3, 1-2. Set your affection on things above, not on things of earth. As early as Harry's infant episode with Voldemort, when his parents were killed, it appears that Harry had absorbed some of the older wizard's powers. He, too, was able to speak with snakes. Have you ever wanted to speak with a snake? I haven't. I noticed on television this morning some new toy that they were advertising on a certain talk show. It was a snake, a slithering snake. I couldn't believe my eyes. They had a, you know how you can make cars go with sort of a indirect wand with batteries? They could make this snake go. And I am sure, as I'm sitting here, that this snake toy is a result of the Harry Potter books. Because who in their right mind would want a snake for a toy? Unless you were trying to be a wizard like Harry Potter. Because Harry and the feared Voldemort had magic wands made from the same source, their one-to-one conflict canceled each other out. No one could win, for they were equal. It seems uncanny to me that a vial of blood drawn from Harry gave the Dark Lord full power once again. 2 Chronicles 33:6, and he, Manasseh, caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit. And with wizards he wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. How angry God must be. You wonder, don't you, what it was like in the days of Noah when God sent the flood. Can we be much worse than the people in Noah's day? Joanne Kathleen Rowling, R-O-W-L-I-N-G, the author, has had a lifelong penchant for writing and telling stories, according to Steve Bonta in The New American. Guess what? This former well-educated welfare recipient has a real heroine. I suppose I wrote that wrong because she's not formally educated. She's well-educated, but she's a former welfare recipient. Her name was Jessica Mitford, M-I-T-F-O-R-D, a human rights activist of renown. I have even heard of her. This heroine, along with her husband, lifelong socialist Robert Truhoff, T-R-E-U-H-A-F-T, were prominent members of the American Communist Party. So, let me quote Mr. Bonta concerning Jessica Mitford, wrote Joe Rowling's hero. A self-styled mud-racking journalist, Mitford earned notoriety beginning in the 60s for her vociferous espousal of various socialist causes. The most noteworthy of these was her 30-year fixation with death and funeral customs in the United States. Her most influential book, The American Way of Death, was a socialist-inspired screed condemning the death industry and large American mortuary chains in particular for their exportation of the dead and the bereaved. The book, and Mitford's ceaseless lobbying on behalf of the downtrodden deceased, was largely responsible for the first ever congressional regulation of the death industry, which started in the early 90s, a few years before Mitford's own demise. That ruling would cite Mitford, poison pen mudracker, unrepentant socialist, and death fetished extraordinaire as a heroine speaks volumes about Rowling's personal convictions. Don't you think so? I think so. You and I should be asking ourselves, what influence has occult thinking had upon the author of these unusually popular children's books? And knowing that her heroine was a communist, we could ask ourselves, what influence has communist as well as adult thinking had upon the author of these unusually popular children's books? Well, I think we should meditate upon this. We should think about this. Zechariah 10:2 says, "For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd." Dear Lord in heaven, we come to thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Open our eyes to the evils that are all about us, to the traps of Satan for our children, in Jesus' name. I'm in his care. Are you?
You've been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@bibleforttoday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.